Hello, welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth, and it's really, really lovely to have you here with me today. Thank you for pressing play and downloading and doing whatever is required to do to listen. Today's podcast is going to be slightly different. So if you are tuning in for the first time, I'm sorry, but it's going to be just a bit different today. The thing is that last week was the appeal week for Ultra 106.5, which you can find at ultra106five.com. And they are a radio station that I go and talk on every fortnight, which is really fun. I go and chat with Scotty, and I usually come up with some sort of organisational topic and we discuss it. And Scotty always has some sort of different take on things. It usually involves pizza, and I like talking to him about things. So I have organisational topics in my mind to talk about, but because of the appeal, we talked about the appeal. One of the things we did talk about was being part of something bigger than ourselves, and how even by donating and praying for Ultra, you can be a part of what they do and their work. And I'm going to play our little interview like I normally do, but it's not about organisational topics today. It's about Ultra and the appeal. The appeal is over, but you can always donate anyway if you go to the website. And if you want to support me, you can do that patreon.com/quietlife. But that, by the by, I want to save my organisational talks for the next time I talk to Scotty. I've got two things I want to talk about before the end of the year, and we've got about two fortnights left before I think I'll start Christmas rushing and want to Christmas rush. Not rush, that's one of the topics. But anyway, I don't want to use these up. I want to talk to Scotty about them. So I thought for something different, I would tell you a story. So I am an author and I write novels as well as writing nonfiction. And I have just finished actually writing a novel, which is about aliens in a little town in Tasmania called Cygnet. And that's on its way to the editor and to my friends to read so that I can see if it's any good. Moz, my husband, reads it first, and he has already pointed out a few things that need changing. So we're in that process, that finishing energy kind of process for the novel. But I like telling stories. Stories are my jam. And so after you listen to Scotty and I have a chat about Ultra 106.5 today, I am going to tell you a story. Just completely off topic. And if you're not in the mood for a story, then don't stress about it. You can come back next time and we will be talking about year themes. So the story that I'm going to tell is called The Great Milk Palaver of 2015. It's about everyday life stuff that happened to me in 2015. And I get a kick out of looking at everyday life and seeing the fun in it, and I hope you do too. Before I do that, here's Scotty and I talking about Ultra, and then I'll tell you a story.
How about Ultra 106.5? Ruth Amos is with me again. She's with me every couple of weeks of a Thursday morning, and this one just happens to be the appeal week.
Yeah, isn't that exciting?
You know what's crazy, though, is I remember June, you know, because normally you'll send me a little reminder the night before, you know, write to come in tomorrow morning, and I'm like, yep. And you said, write to come in, and I'm like, hang on. I remember this, you know, like all the way back in June, we had our June appeals.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly.
It's just like life just goes way too quickly.
That's right. It just slips past.
Now, of course, we're talking about our November appeal and hope for tomorrow. You've had such a long association with this radio station. I mean, it's crazy. Tell us about your involvement.
Yeah. So, I started listening when I was a kid, part of the children's hour. And then my parents became president and vice president when I was a late teenager. And then I came and started working when we were at Cross Street. I was listening to music beats and analysing music and putting it into its different, you know, categories and stuff. And that was so much fun to be a part of that, Scotty. So much fun. And so since then, my brother was an announcer, my sister was an announcer, my parents were announcers, and I was the only one in the family who said, never going to be an announcer.
But here you are.
And here I am.
See, this, it had to happen, didn't it?
Just
to complete the circle.
It did, yeah.
That's so good. Now, of course, with your long association, you'd know the heart of the radio station.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, HFCFM contains the word hope, and
yeah,
you know, like it's in our DNA, isn't it?
That's right. That was us back then, Hope Foundation Communicators, and then yeah, that's what we want to do. We want to communicate hope, and it, being a part of this is just amazing. Yeah,
yeah. So even though the radio station's, you know, changed and sounds a little differently over the years, the DNA is still there, isn't it?
I don't know. Like, like, why don't you play tee for two anymore, Scotty? I don't understand. No, it's there in the DNA. Yeah, being there for the community, being that voice of hope and being that that family that people can just join in and be a part of.
Yeah, we get amazing messages. And to be honest, and I shouldn't be surprised because it's happened for years and years, but you get these messages through, you know, if somebody's saying, my marriage was going to be broken up, you know, and I was on my way to break, you know, and then I heard a little spot on the radio or I heard a song, you know, and I realized I had to go and work it out with my husband or, you know, somebody, like all these crazy messages about faith and, you know, and I'm just like, wow, it's actually a real privilege, isn't it, to be here?
It absolutely is. It's funny, you know, a couple of times back, I got back home after chatting on the radio. I got a message from a client who said, I don't normally listen to Ultra, but it was on the radio when, and I heard your voice. There you go.
And the funny thing is, because of a staff, we pray together. And one of the things that we often pray about is, Lord, just let the right spot or the right song go to air for the right person today, you know, like as they need to hear it. And we get that reflected all the time, you know, in the comments is, oh, I just heard the right song at just the right time when I really need to hear it. So we just know that God's a part of this, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to encourage people listening today that they can be a part of it. Like, we can all be a part of it by something as easy, because I know we're all busy. Like, that's what I talked to you about, how busy we are and how much we have on our plate. But just by giving in this appeal, you can be a part of this family and a part of what God does through this place. And we need that. We need that. And also, if you're a praying person, you can pray too, because your prayers are going to help. I mean, they just... praying is the foundation of everything, isn't it, Scotty?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, well, we appreciate you being a part of it. Thanks for popping in every couple of weeks.
And, absolutely.
You know, it's not just a matter of popping in talking. You know, you do your research and you think about what you're going to talk about and all that sort of stuff. So we so appreciate it.
No worries. I love coming in.
Ruth Amos there, ruthamos.com.au.
That's me.
Check her out more. There's blogs there. There's a whole bunch of great stuff.
So I hope you enjoyed that little chat with Scotty. And now I am going to tell you a story, the Great Milk Palaver of 2015. And if you don't know what palaver means, because it's a very strine word, Australian slang, you probably will by the end of this story. If not, write to me, ruth@ruthamos.com.au, and I'll explain it to you. Or tweet me at A Quiet Life Blog. Anyway, here we go. The Great Milk Palaver. Now, this story comes from when I worked at the University of Tasmania. And the University of Tasmania is built on the side of a hill in Sandy Bay in Tasmania. And the hill is fairly steep. And the chemistry building, I want you to imagine, put a bit of a map in your mind. The chemistry building is about a third of the way up the hill. And then you go up the hill, you go over the road, and you land at the Agricultural Sciences Building, where they teach zoology and microbiology and botany and things like that. And then if you keep going past Ag Science, you get to a building which is called the Old Medical Sciences Building, because it used to be where medical science was taught. And it's a bit like saying turn left at the roundabout where the big tree used to be. The Old Medical Sciences Building is where medical science used to be taught before they moved into Hobart. And then if you've got that in your mind, so you go, you know, pretty much straight up the hill from chemistry to medical sciences. But if you go down through a gully, which has a little barbecue area in it and a whole lot of little biting ants called jack jumpers, jumping, biting ants, they're horrible. Anyway, if you go through that barbecue gully, you'll get to a place called Hitton Hall, which is where the secretary works, who is looking after a program called the Foundation Studies Program. Used to be. It's all changed now. That was 2015. But anyway, Foundation Studies was run from Hitton Hall, but some of the teaching took place in the Old Medical Sciences Building. And I used to teach part of Foundation Studies, and so I would traipse my way up the hill from chemistry to Old Medical Sciences a couple of times a week to do some teaching. So one day, when I opened my email, I saw an email sent to all Foundation Studies program teachers saying that milk needed to be picked up, that the milk order was being left at Agricultural Sciences rather than being picked up and taken to Old Medical Sciences. and that it needed to be left at Agricultural Sciences because the delivery truck could not turn at Old Medical Sciences building because the turning circle was too small. And I can't find the original email, which is a bit of a sad story, but anyway, this email was a shock to my system because nobody in chemistry where I worked got milk delivered. We didn't have chemistry milk or even pharmacy milk or any milk at all. We had no milk delivered to us for our cups of tea. And it just struck me as astonishing that Foundation Studies program was given milk to make cups of tea. So I was just like, yes, people, pick up your milk, walk down the hill to Ag Science and pick up the milk. It's only a 2-minute walk. You can do this, people. You know, such a joy to get milk for your cups of tea, and you're letting it lie there in Agricultural Science and not be picked up. I think I would have offered to pick it up if I had worked in Foundation Studies on a Monday, but I didn't work in Foundation Studies on a Monday and I didn't want to make the extra traipse up the hill to pick up the milk. See, I'm not willing to do this either. But anyway, people weren't listening. And what I'm going to tell you the story of here is a reply all email thread that I just found incredibly amusing. So the next email in this email thread said, "Good morning. Another email about the milk, so I apologise. I have just had a call from our milk suppliers that the milk delivered on Mondays hasn't been collected by the Wednesday for the last couple of weeks, and they have said that collection is sporadic. Could somebody please get back to me to confirm who usually collects it on the Monday? I'd like to make sure it is, in fact, our staff collecting it, and perhaps consider another method for the order. I am also aware that there are teachers who teach later in the week who would miss out if I were to cancel the order over there and have it delivered here instead, but that would mean somebody coming over to Heaton Hall. Currently, the order is one full cream and one light." So there's several points here. One thing is someone from another department picking up our milk? That would not be good. Milk rustling in the zoology department. Call the milk police. Okay, point one. Point two, it's important for everyone to know what the order is. Perhaps we only have picked up the full cream milk and not the light milk. And one what? 1 litre? 1 2-litre bottle? So that's very confusing. And that's my science training coming out. Units. Need units. As for the Heaton Hall suggestion, well, I mean, if you're not going to just traipse down the hill for a couple of minutes to pick up from Ag Science, you're not going to go down through the Jack Jumper invested barbecue area to go over to Heaton Hall to pick up the milk. That is never going to happen. So I thought that was a silly suggestion. So there was a response to this email. "I can only answer for myself, but as a casual and not being present on Wednesday, I cannot collect it. I suggest that we order in long life milk once a semester to be delivered to our floor. Officeworks, for example, could do this with photocopy paper, or we could order from Coles or Woolworths. The milk could be stored in the staff room. There is often no milk here on the rare occasions that I want one at break on Thursday. Best wishes." Now, he is a problem solver. "We could use long life milk. There wouldn't be a weekly issue then, just once a semester delivery. There are even stores that do this. Stores that have trucks that can make it to the Old Medical Sciences building. Let's do that. Then the poor girl could have her cup of tea on Thursday after her teaching. But there's a complication, and the reason for the tardiness may be discovered in the following email. Hi. Between Foundation Studies staff and the other people working on Level 3, we usually manage to get hold of a carton of milk each week from elsewhere in the building, the Old Medical Sciences building. I know that Level 1 still have a crate of milk delivered here each week, a mixture of full cream and light. They must have a different supplier. I suggest we use the same supplier as Level 1 and have one carton of full cream and one carton of light milk delivered with them, and then we can just pick it up from the foyer as we did before. You see, it's not the staff's fault. The truck should be able to go to the Old Medical Sciences building. Another truck does, and it gives both full cream and light milk. The supplier is just slack. And as the staff can go and raid the supply from Level 1, there's no need to traipse down to Ag Sciences and back up the hill. Now that the lift is working, you can get the milk without putting in much effort at all. There's no mention of whether the Level 1 staff are happy to lose their milk to Level 3 staff. We may never know their true feelings because they're not on the reply all email. Anyway, the secretary responds. "Good afternoon. I have just cancelled the milk order for Foundation Studies program. We will be placing an order for long-life milk capsules, which was something we were considering earlier this morning. I believe there is still some milk at the Ag Science building if someone would like to collect it for this week. Well, there you go. Long-life milk has been ordered and the whole situation has been neatly resolved. Or has it? Hi. I'm not sure whether you have already proceeded with the new milk order, but I just wanted to mention that I think Erica meant for us to order cartons rather than the capsules of UHT. I'm quite concerned about the waste generated by capsules and how this reflects the university's commitment to being sustainable, if it isn't too late. I would really like to echo Michael's suggestion that we incorporate our milk order into the order for level one. I'm not sure how many others would agree with me, but I personally would prefer to not be drinking UHT milk on a regular basis. I know this isn't an easy situation for you either. I do appreciate your help. Oh, it's such a hard situation, and it's not resolved. It remains ongoing. It's a hard situation for everybody. We may need counselling. At least the secretary probably will. I wonder if her job description includes the arduous task of herding cats. UHT milk is not good. Capsules are not sustainable, and we are never going to get this situation sorted out. I'm wondering how much paperwork will be required to order milk with a different department. It would be crossing departmental budget lines. I'm sure that comes under the heading of impossible. I'm also wondering how much milk these people need. How regularly do they drink the milk? Is this a meal replacement situation? The answers to most of these questions were not forthcoming over future weeks. However, I can inform you that the milk capsules were ordered, that they were sustainable because they were compostable, and so that situation was dealt with. And I think, as far as I know, that the end of the story, everybody was at least content, if not necessarily happy with the situation, and that the department didn't fall apart over the great milk palaver of 2015. Okay, so this is a very ridiculous short story, but I just got so much amusement from those reply all emails, as you know, many people do get from many reply all emails. And I hope that you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed sharing it with you. If you did enjoy this story, you might enjoy the murder mysteries that I wrote based on life at the university, where things got even more het up and fraught than in this story, and people died. Anyway, yes, the murder mysteries I write are called the Deadly Miss series, and they're set at the University of Tasmania, and you can find them at rjamos.com. That's rjamos.com if you're interested. But I hope you enjoyed this story. It is a bit of silliness. I do understand that these things are important and did require sorting out. And the most important thing, of course, is that everyone's still talking at the end of the story, which, as far as I know, they were. And I will be back to my regular transmission next time, and I look forward to chatting to you then.